God has blessed us with the beautiful Lord's Day that we could assemble together with those of like precious faith and be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. Got a good number that is assembled together this morning. We thank each and every one of you for coming. Our members, we thank you for coming. And especially our visitors, we're thankful that you are here. We're blessed with visitors at nearly every Sunday. And so we appreciate you being here. Many of you are from counties that are not too far away, and some have come states away and passing through, and you stop to be with us. We thank you for doing that. And the only thing we ask is that you take your Bible out and follow along. Make sure that what I say, make sure that what we do is right and pleasing to God as revealed in the Bible. If I miss the mark, you're not going to offend me in any way to say, "Preacher, you got it wrong, and here's why." If I'm wrong, according to what the Bible says, I'll make correction of that, never preach it again, that heaven will be my eternal home. Do kind of want to let you know, so it'll be no surprise to you. Next week, I will not be doing the Bible class or the Sunday preaching. Brother John Edwards will be with us. Some men agreed for him to do the Bible class and to preach that Sunday morning and evening. So we anticipate him being with us. Of course, you know him. He held a meeting for us few years back, and so we look forward to him being with us. And on Wednesday, a week from this Wednesday, all the guys that have signed up to come into town and learn how to put together sermons and study the Bible for a week, 35 of them thus far, still room. The men have agreed for them to take Wednesday night and to deliver a sermon before you. And so you need to be here to encourage those good men and the work that they're striving to do, and give them words of encouragement. That'll go a long way. 35 of them from the ages of 12 to 80 something. And so, and everywhere in between, from about 10 different states or so and one other country. One Canelo, whom you support on a monthly basis for him to be able to do the work that he does in Chile, South America. He'll also be here, and you'll be able to see him and to give him words of encouragement. Take your Bible out, follow along with me. Expect nothing short of a book, chapter, verse. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and then verse 7. Again, he limiteth a day, a certain day, saying, "And David today, after so long a time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." I put the title of the sermon on the board before you, Inspired Limitations. Some folks today are seemingly surprised that there are limitations when it comes to things that are mentioned in the Bible. We live in an ever-changing world, and one of the challenges is it is getting more and more difficult to really be a distinct, peculiar, special, different people in an ever-blending world. In a vast world where folks just want to blend, you just be who you are and what you want to be, and we'll just all be inclusive, and we'll just accept that, and well, who are we to judge anyway? Did you realize that there are a number of limitations in the Bible? It's not a free-for-all. It's not do what you want to do, but it's let's do what God said to do. Are we on the same page with that? Let's do what God said to do. And if so, if we're going to be pleasing to God, we have got to understand that there are some limitations placed upon us in the Bible regarding several different things. The first thing I want to talk with you about is the fact that God has limited the day in which we come together to do particular things in worship to Him. Here you are on the first day of the week. Why did you come? Now, we're glad you're here. Whether you're visiting or you're a member, we're glad you're here. But why do you come? Or back at home, why do you go upon the first day of the week to worship God? Well, God commands us to worship Him. We are duty-bound to worship Him. John chapter 4 and then verse 24, God is Spirit, and they that worship Him must, the strongest word perhaps in the English vocabulary, it's an imperative, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. With the right attitude, focused at the task at hand, and according to revealed truth, divine truth, the Word of God. And so we're regulated as to when we do that. Now, a lot of folks think you can carry the things out of which we're doing today any other day of the week. Some of them you can. There's no certain day of which I can pray to God. I can do that any day, and ought to. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul penned by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Philippians chapter 4 and then verse 6. I can sing while I'm at home if I want to sing praise unto God. Is any among you merry? Let him sing songs, James records. So I can sing at home. I can pray at home. But there are things of which I must do. I can study at home. We can have a study at my house if we want to and proclaim the gospel at my house, your house, or anywhere else, as Jesus commissioned to do and so forth in Matthew chapter 28 and Mark chapter 16. But ladies and gentlemen, of the five items of worship, if I were to ask you, by the way, how many items of worship do we have? What would you say? You don't have to answer out loud. It's dwindling to hear some. But nonetheless, the Bible is always, it teaches now what it always has. Five items of worship, two of which are regulated as to how it's to be done. The others too on how it's to be done. Nonetheless, when it's to be done. Preacher, what on earth do you mean? In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now concern the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so to ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The church is to give upon the first day of the week when the saints come together. Acts 2 and then verse 42. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And so we have no business to pass the plate on Wednesday night services, you see. See that point? But also the Lord's Supper is regulated. It's limited. By the way, if you use the New King James Version, that word limited is rendered as designated. Divine or inspired designations or limitations. But the Lord's Supper is regulated. Not only on what is to be used, but when it is to be done. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And the partaking of the Lord's service is regulated and put in the kingdom. Henceforth I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. It's in the kingdom of which we commune. It's called communion, by the way, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When you come together, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Then he reprimanded them because they were not rightly discerning the Lord's body and so forth. The manner in which they were observing it, they were reprimanded for. And so upon the first day of the week, we come together as we have done to partake of the Lord's Supper. You agree? That's why we don't have communion services Friday night. That's why we don't have it Sunday. That's why we don't have it Easter, so forth, on whatever day of the week it might be. It is on first day of the week. Why? Because of inspired limitations. Don't ever forget that. That's important, and we cannot lose sight of that. We are regulated. All things must be done by His authority. You agree? Colossians chapter 3 and then verse 17. Got to have a book, chapter, verse for the things that we do. And I tell you, I don't care if it's a pandemic or what it is. Things like we're talking about now, divine limitations, as you look into the Word of God, knocks the props out from under some of the foolish things that brethren have embraced during the pandemic.
Amen.
Now, when you think, if it's acceptable then, why not forever and always? We come together. Number two, the kind of music that we have is regulated. There are two types of music I want you to think about. That is vocal or a cappella, that is without mechanical instrumental music, and then with mechanical instrumental music. You know which one is specified in the New Testament? You gotta be careful about vocal because sometimes people do all this beatbox and stuff, and they say, look, hey, we're not using an instrument, but they do all this, whatever it is, humming and going on. I'm talking about singing is what's specified. At least 10 passages in the New Testament. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. Singing, make a melody in your heart to the Lord, Ephesians 5:19, and Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. And so don't lose sight of the fact that we are limited on the type of music that we are to have. Sometimes people with a false understanding of what the Bible teaches and about what we stand for will say, the Church of Christ, well, you folks don't believe in music. Well, sure we do. We just got done singing, having a song service as part of the worship. But what kind of music are you talking about? Instrumental, mechanical music, pianos and so forth? No, we don't believe in that this side of the cross, because we're bound by the New Testament law of Christ, of which He never authorized in the New Testament. Yes, they had it under the Old Testament, but they had a lot of things under the Old Testament law of Moses that we don't have today, that we don't observe today, because that law has passed away, Colossians 2 and in verse 14. And so, inspired limitations, God has limited the kind of singing or music that is to be had. It is to be congregational singing. Someone says, well, we have singing too. And what they mean by that is they have some special group that stands before and you sit and listen while they sing. That won't work. And maybe some choir behind the preacher. And they sing, you listen. They sing, you don't. That won't work. What the Bible says to you, it says to me. And we're to sing. Number three. God has limited as to who can be an elder. Overseeing a congregation of God's people. You know who He has limited that to? Men. Not women, but men. I received a text from a brother just this past week where a particular religious group had ordained, they said, their first transgender female woman. List goes on. As they titled it. God has limited certain roles to be carried out by certain people. And it can't be delegated outside of what God has specified. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good work. Someone says, but preacher, that original Greek word for man in that passage is not the male specific word, male gender. The context bears it out. The husband of one wife. That tells you who he's talking about. And yes, there are different Greek words in the New Testament, which Aner and Anthropos is neither one of those is the one in 1 Timothy chapter 3. But the context is that he's talking about a man and not a woman that meets specific qualifications. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, you don't meet the qualifications, you're not appointed as an elder. Plurality of men oversee one flock of God's people, 1 Peter chapter 5. But also, God has limited gospel teaching and preaching to men. And someone says, but can't women teach and can't they instruct? Well, sure they can. Do you know why we don't have women taking the pulpit on Sunday and Wednesday? Because God has regulated that to men. Let me give you a passage that talks about that in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 12. For I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp, that is to take away, to have dominion over the man, but to be in silence. Can a woman instruct? She sure can instruct her children. As we read about in Titus chapter 2. Women can teach women. The older women are to teach the younger women. I'm talking about gospel preaching such as I'm doing now. It's regulated. It's limited to men. If you think I missed the boat on that, catch me at the back door and give me book, chapter, and verse where you can read otherwise. But also, God is regulated and limited as to who can be saved. You've got to be careful with this because in the religious world today, there are those who teach predestination from the standpoint, and limited atonement, from the standpoint that God has selected before the world began specifically what individual will be saved and what will not from the standpoint of saved, lost, saved, lost. And if you're lost, you can't never do anything to be saved. If you're saved, you can't ever do anything to be lost. But that's not the case. God has predetermined the plan by which man can be saved. The Savior of the world, slain from the foundation of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1. God has said that whoever obeys the gospel of Christ can go to heaven. You see that point? God has said that whoever disobeys or knows not God and obeys not the gospel of Christ will be eternally separated from God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 6 through 9. So, if you're here this morning, not a Christian, you can obey the gospel and become a Christian. And go to heaven when life is over, whosoever you be. If that's your desire. God has said that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, the Lord stated, as recorded in Matthew 7, verse 21, he that doeth the Father's will abideth forever, 1 John 2 and then verse 17, keeps the Father's commandments, Revelation 22, 14. But also, as you think about some divine limitations that we need to be aware of, are you aware of the fact that God has limited who can be married? God has specified who can be married. That needs to be preached today more and more. God designed the home from the beginning, Genesis chapters 1 through 3. And it will always and forever be one man with one woman for a lifetime, and to that union children to be born. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers God will judge, Hebrews chapter 13. And so the bed is undefiled within the confines of marriage, but it's defiled outside of marriage. Don't ever forget that. But God's even limited it even more so between a man and a woman. Some people cannot marry. Did you ever think about that? Matthew chapter 19. A husband and wife married together, and a man puts away his wife for some other cause other than fornication. It's not okay for him to go out and shack up with someone else and marry again. God doesn't authorize that. Neither is it authorized for the person who has been put away to marry. Matthew 19, and Luke talks about it, Mark does as well. And so we need not to forget that. Matthew 19, Ephesians 5, and then verse 23 to the rest of the chapter. If you'd like to have a specific lesson on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, you let me know and be happy to do that. But also God has limited concerning spiritual blessings. In Ephesians chapter 1 and then verse 3, the Bible says that all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are where? In Christ Jesus. If you're outside of Christ, you don't have spiritual blessings that God affords to His children, that we are privileged to have as one of His children. The privilege of prayer, the privilege of the forgiveness of sins, fellowship with those of like precious faith, and God our Father, as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, and so forth. Romans chapter 6 and then verse 3. We're buried with Him in baptism. So that's the only way to get into Christ, Romans 3 and then Galatians chapter, or Romans 6 rather, in Galatians chapter 3. But also, as you think about divine limitations, I want to give you this one and just give you the references because we've talked about it. The law of Moses was not designed and implemented to be one continuous law forever. Galatians chapter 3, 16 through 19, and Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 4. And Galatians 5 verse 4, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. But also, do you realize that God limited those that qualify to be an apostle? We've talked about in the book, Sunday morning, I think almost all year, if not all year, from the book of Acts, and we've studied about the qualifications of an apostle. Must one have been with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day in which he was taken up, must one be ordained with us to be a witness of his resurrection? Acts chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Folks, there's not a person on the top side of God's green earth today that can claim that they have seen Jesus. Therefore, they do not qualify to be an apostle. God limited that to a specific group of people. And you read about the first nice concise list in Matthew chapter 10, then Mark chapter 3, and Luke chapter 6. But also, the work of the local church is limited. Preacher, why don't you guys have a gymnasium? Why don't you have a room that is attached to your building? You can just call it fellowship hall. You know there's a reason why we don't do that? Read the board. Inspired limitations. The work that God has assigned this church to do is limited to what the Bible teaches. And don't ever forget it. That's why we don't have pie suppers and cake sales, and we don't drag over a trailer over to the Worldwide Chicken Festival in September and sell chicken, hot dogs, and hamburgers. That's why we don't block off the parking lot and charge for parking during the Chicken Festival. That's all these other places around us do. It's limited to the fact that we are required of God to edify. That is, to build up Ephesians 4 and then verse 12. And by the way, the Word of God edifies. And now, brethren, I commend you unto God and the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Acts chapter 20 and in verse 32. Benevolence, as the church takes care of the members that are destitute and needy, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Never was a church charged to be a worldwide poverty eradicating agency. Never. Not one time. And evangelism. Ephesians 3, verses 10 and 11. That by the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be declared. Where the pillar and the ground of the truth, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And then verse 15, and there's simply no authority for any other area. If so, write it down or talk with me and give it to me. Last point. Divine limitations. Do you realize that the eternal destiny of man is limited? Preacher, what do you mean by that? There are but two places you can go when this life is over. Not three, not four, not some temporary measure until you've suffered for a while and been purified and then you can go to heaven. The Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. John 5, verse 28 and verse 29. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal, the Lord said, Matthew 25, verse 46. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I want to go to heaven. Do you? Shake or not? Let's see this. That's right. We want to go to heaven. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're shaking your head, you want to go to heaven, you've not obeyed the gospel, now's the time. God's blessed you with this opportunity, the first day of the week, to hear and to be here and hear the gospel proclaimed, give you an opportunity to obey it. Why not? Preacher, what must I do to be saved? You do what they did in the Bible to be saved. Hear the gospel, Romans 10, 17. Believe it, John 8, 24. Repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess your faith in Christ, like the eunuch did in Acts 8, 37, when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2, verse 38. When you do that, all of your sin will be washed away in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1, 5. And He'll add you to the only blood-bought institution on the top side of God's green earth, and that is the Church of Christ, Acts 2 and then verse 47. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord. You've not been faithful as you should, but you want to come home.
You want to be restored. Why not do that? Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. Paul penned this, 1 Timothy 3:15. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. 1 Timothy, rather, verse chapter 1 and in verse 12. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Come right now, Jesus saves.